The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Set ahead by Dallas off the faceoff toward the empty net. They score! Miro Heiskanen, defenseman. The key to it, a face-off win for Dallas. Empty net goal. Dallas 4, and the Sharks 1.
Yeah, I mean, we had chances, right? Two power plays there, and we didn't get anything out of them, momentum or anything. So that's what happens in this game.
It can't really get much worse than the Washington game. So I thought for the most part we battled with them and just, you know, a couple mistakes and didn't get the result. But loss is a loss, and we got to get back in the win column here.
Good morning, everyone. That was Ryan Warsofsky and then Colin Graf after the empty net goal, bringing us in here on a Saturday morning. The San Jose Sharks falling by a final of 4-1 last night. And I think in the grand scheme of things, what we are seeing is a cooling trend. My personal hope is that this leads to a preheat, which is actively happening in real time, and much in the way that the Sharks, when they went on that East Coast road trip earlier this season, and they had Macklin Celebrini go off for the 5-point game against the Rangers at Madison Square Garden, and he had the game winner against Minnesota in overtime. I am hoping that the Sharks will heat back up and get things going in the winning side of things. But I do think that ultimately a cool down was inevitable for San Jose because they were playing ahead of schedule. They were out over their skis. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And if we look at where San Jose is right now, through 29 games, they have 29 points. They are tied with Edmonton, who is the fourth place in the wild card race. The Sharks currently being in fifth. Winnipeg is in third place, 29 points. So they're right there with two expected contending teams. Chicago is at 30 points right now in the second wild card. Utah is in the top of the wild card rankings with 31 points. And that's where LA is in the Pacific in third, followed by or ahead of them is Vegas with 34 points, Anaheim with 35. So the Sharks, they are still very much in the thick of things, even amidst cooling down. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. They have lost two in a row. The sky is not falling, but San Jose, I think, needs to pick things up because I believe they're capable of doing so. We're going to have a longer discussion about all these topics in a couple minutes here with Alan Hoshida of NBC Sports California. But, you know, I've had more time since my immediate reaction last night when I recorded with Alan after the game. But it comes down to aggression. It comes down to shots on net. It comes down to dictating more of the pace of play. And they did a better job of hanging with their opposition in last night's game, going against a team like Dallas, who are not Washington or Colorado in terms of their overwhelming nature. The Sharks did a better job of hanging with them, but I go to where the game was in its critical moments. When the Sharks had power plays in the third period, they had just awful power plays. They couldn't keep the puck in the zone. They couldn't get shots on net. They couldn't do anything that looked like they were about to take over the game. And that's the most frustrating part, because I do believe that so much of what makes you a winning team in the NHL is not just about being the more talented team, is not about being just the hardworking team. Those are big, big factors. But it comes down to being opportunistic. And when a power play is presented, you have to be opportunistic. You have to bury your shots. You have to take care of, you know, your opportunities when they come. And the Sharks didn't do that. You know, those power plays happened at a critical moment of the game, and the Sharks had their worst stretch of the game, I could argue. And yes, they were offensively flat in the first period, but they weren't getting, you know, the same type of looks in the same type of a dire situation. The pushback, of course, is that minute one through the end of the game is all a dire situation when you're a team like the Sharks. And yes, there is some truth to that, but you can't constantly play with your hair on fire. You'd get gassed. But the Sharks have the legs, they have the talent, they have the skill. I need to see more aggression. That's a refrain that we keep on falling back to over and over, but it's true. We need to see this team be more aggressive. And the one thing that I keep on looking at is I need Macklin Celebrini to be more aggressive. I need Will Smith to be more aggressive. I need William Eklund to be more aggressive. I love the fact that Colin Graf is putting together good game after good game after good game, and he's playing better every single game overall as a player. He's scoring goals. He's out there on the PK. But his offensive game is not at a level where he can take over games. Macklin Celebrini can take over games. Will Smith can take over games. William Eklund can take over games. I need to see more from Tyler Toffoli. I think as we keep on talking about, he's clearly playing through something, but he's not, I think, where he's capable of being. And so without him as a consistent goal-scoring threat the way he was last year, and he has been consistently throughout his career, that's hurting things as well. And I'm not blaming him or anything. I'm just saying these are the realities that we see with San Jose. They are not getting the consistent point production from all their capable players that they need to post wins. It's no surprise that when Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and William Eklund, et cetera, are going off, that the Sharks find wins. Yes, we saw Kurashev take a star role there. He cooled off. We saw Adam Gaudette warm up. He cooled off. You need them all to start warming up again and start getting hot and start being dominant players. The decor right now, we're seeing some mistakes. Again, we've talked about Mook Madulin in and out of the lineup. He's had some tentative moments. We've seen Sam Dickinson bite too hard. We've seen John Klingberg having to deal with life coming back from, you know, major surgeries at this point in his NHL career. You know, Letty was out for a while with being injured, and he's been a little bit better as of late. But despite the defensive core being pretty good defensively in their structure last night, in terms of their offensive contributions, or when we look at, you know, making a critical mistake at a critical juncture, that's something that they need to work on as well. And, you know, I didn't think Yaroslav Askarov was a problem at all last night. I don't think he was 1,000% at his best, but, you know, that's the Sharks need to provide him with more offensive support. If it's a 1-1 game going into the third period, or more accurately, if you've only given up one goal going into the third on the road, that feels like a game you need to have a couple goals in. You need to give your goalie more support. So, yeah, a lot of things the Sharks did well to keep themselves in that game last night, but ultimately this feels like a missed opportunity, and this is part of what the Sharks need to go through. I reminded everyone of this after they got smashed by Washington the other day. They lost 7-1. Well, another young team in Anaheim, they got beat 7-0 by Utah. Young teams are going to have bumps in the road. They're going to get beat up. They are going to have some bad losses. The key is to not let them snowball. This is the first time in a bit that the Sharks have had two decisions consecutively, one way or another, losses or wins, since they had those two losses on the road on that three-game road trip in November. But they've lost two in a row. Let's see if they can bounce back. Let's see if we can get some more of that dominant play from their star players. Obviously, they've got till tomorrow and afternoon go time against Carolina, but I'll be very curious to see what they bring to the table in that game, because Carolina, once again, is another very, very strong opponent for San Jose. But these are the tests they need. It's great that they're beating lower tier teams in the NHL, but if you're not beating the best, if you're not beating the hottest when they are at their top game, then you know you're not where you need to be one of the top tier teams in the NHL. I understand the Sharks are not there yet, but that is just part of the stark reality. All right, wanted to get you this interview we did with Alan Hoshida after the game last night. We went over everything we're seeing with San Jose. Enjoy. All right, we are now joined on the Sharks Audio Network by the host of Sharks Pre and Post Game Live on NBC Sports California, the one and only Alan Hoshida. Alan, that was a better effort, comparatively speaking, to what we saw versus Washington on Wednesday, but I just can't help feeling like the San Jose Sharks need kind of an attitude adjustment to be more aggressive as a team overall.
I think that's safe to say. I think, you know, the last couple games, their first periods, they've had, you know, 10-plus shots. Tonight it regressed against the Stars. But I think, yeah, I think you're right. I think this team just needs to have a more aggressive mindset from the get-go. But then we've seen it when they are aggressive first period, then they let off the gas. They did win the second period. It's one of those things where it feels like when one problem gets fixed, another one pops up. It's like that old gopher arcade game. You're just banging down the next issue. And once this team can figure out how to stay consistent as long as possible in a game, that's when they're going to have the most success. I know that's obvious to say, but I go back to what Ryan Warsawski said to me in an interview where it was, what do you want to see learn? What do you want your team to learn? and it was about consistency, but he made a good point, is that you're never going to play 60 minutes mm-mm. of perfect hockey, but you need to play as long as possible, whether that's 45, 50, 55, and then those other five or other 10 can't be a complete letdown. There can't be different levels to that. It could be just maybe a step back or something small like that. So I think if they could find whatever game is going to allow them to be the most successful for the longest period of time, ride those waves within a game, that's where you're going to find success. But I think it does start with just more aggressive mindset.
Well, I specifically think of 8 minutes in this game that the Sharks did not do what they needed to do on the power play. It's not even the 60 minutes as a totality. It's the situational hockey that lately, you know, the Sharks and their power play has been kind of all over the place. We saw them have a little bit of success after that Colorado game where they looked a little bit more organized. Even though they'd been scoring some power play goals prior to that, that wasn't in an ordained fashion, I would say. But once again tonight, it just zone entry. I mean, that they just couldn't figure that out. They couldn't get the puck in. They couldn't keep it in the zone. And then especially on those two power plays they had in the third period, at a critical moment in the game, I mean, not trying to be mean here, but those are two of the worst power plays the Sharks have had all year. And at a moment when they're on the road against Dallas in a critical situation, that just can't happen. They need to be lethal. They need to be aggressive. They need to shoot.
Well, I think it also fueled Dallas, right? It wasn't even that they weren't scoring. They were putting shots on net. It just wasn't going in. And then you kind of feel like, okay, maybe you built some momentum. Hey, we did our best and we made the goalie make some saves. They didn't do that. And then they were giving up odd man rushes. They're giving momentum back to the Stars. Steele was all over the ice, both when he gets the go-ahead goal, but also on the penalty kill. So not only is it not being successful for your team, you are not creating offense, you're not creating momentum, you are not building energy off it, you are giving the other team more. And that's been the case kind of here of this whole season. They've given up the most shots when they're on the power play, the most scoring opportunities. They've have five shorthanded. They have a bunch, 100 plus power play opportunities. So they're drawing penalties, but they're just not capitalizing them. Yes, they will. I think they had scored four straight power play goals with, you know, in the last four games, one of each. But it was early on, and I think that's the other part of it. That's situational that you're talking about is that in the third period or in crunch time when they're down one, they need a goal, they're up one to maybe go up two. That's when you need your power play to say, okay, this is our moment. We need to really execute. We really need to bring it. And they just haven't had that type of success in those pivotal moments consistently throughout the year. And you'll probably go back and look at during that winning streak early on in November, they probably were. And that's probably because they're winning more hockey games. And that's probably your difference there. And so the power play just needs to find whatever works. And, you know, I don't know if it's a system change or personnel change, because I don't think it comes down to one person. You know, Dmitry Orlov was back there on the point. Hey, maybe you put Macklin back there, kind of a la Mitch Marner and how he runs a power play. Or maybe you go five forwards, you put Wenberg back there. Or, just hear me out here, Sam Dickinson has run a power play in his career. He's there. And if you already are giving up opportunities to the other team's penalty kill, a lot of them, one, Dickinson has some wheels to get back. Yeah. And if he does have the turnover, he can maybe make up for it. But also, if you're already giving up ample opportunities and that's what you're worried about putting a young kid out there, what's the difference?
Well, I wonder about, you know, they don't want to put too much pressure on the young guys. They don't want to put them in a position to fail. But also there is the in and the out of the lineup aspect, which has happened for Sam Dickinson, which has happened for Shakir Mukhmadulin. So I think that they're kind of multiple minds of it, Alan. It's like they're probably thinking, okay, we need these veterans to perform at a high level because we need them to have trade value. But that's under the understanding that they are not going to be a playoff team come the deadline. And they're probably thinking that more and more that after the deadline or closer to it, they'll have more of those everyday players be their younger guys. But at the same time, you know, it's like, well, what is the goal of this season right now? And I think that's probably what this month of December is going to tell us. Is it going to be to make the playoffs,
or is it going to be to, you know, get those assets moved at the block so you can have more assets for the future?
And you're right. Maybe this is the month that you find that all out. Maybe, you know, they go with who they think has the best opportunity to help them get to the playoffs. I also think you got to go with the six guys that are playing the best right now. You have nine defensemen back there. Well, Vinny Desharnais is on IR, so that makes it eight. And also, we should shout, since Vinny Desharnais has gone down, the defense has not looked as strong. And the defensive structure, actually, this game wasn't too bad. They actually didn't allow a lot of shots by the Dallas Stars. So I don't think the defensive structure really was the problem of this game, or the defense for that matter as a whole, because I think Nick Leddy had some moments in this game. You got to shout it out when it happens. Like, you got, you know, if you play well, you got to be a shout out for that. But I think you also need to figure out, like, you ride that line, right? Of, like you said, give them the opportunities not to be successful and not fail, but you have to kind of balance which one do you want to give. Like, if you give Sam Dickinson an opportunity to run a power play for an extended period, again, I think this can't be like a one game and done. It has to be, okay, we're going to give you 3 to 5 games on the power play and see how you do. And maybe he succeeds. Then you're like, oh, then he succeeded. If you're always playing scared, what's that saying? If you're scared money.
What is it? I know what you're getting at. I don't know the entire word for word.
Scared money don't make money is what I believe. That's what it is. So I just think you gotta give these guys a little bit of opportunity to be successful and even have the beef to fail as well. Like, you have to have the be a double-edged sword. I thought this road trip would be a good road trip to see Sam Dickinson and Shakir Mukhamudulin in there all 5 games because there was no back-to-backs. We're, what, about 30 games into the season here, and give them an opportunity to either shine or not take the opportunity and maybe fall back a little bit. But you go to them and say, hey, these are the games you're going to play. You're going to play all five, no matter what happens. You're going to play all five. So if you make one mistake, okay, you got to go out there and do the next shift. And I think that also has to be – you have to empower your players. Mm-hmm. And so I would love that to happen at some point. I don't know if it's probably not going to happen on this road trip, but say, hey – all right, these are your games. Go play it. Don't worry about anything else. You're going to play these X amount of games and show us what you got.
I want to ask you about the, as I'm phrasing this, the Macklin Celebrini problem of him being too good of a teammate. And I need him to just take over games. And I know that that's not what – it flies in the face of what we often call hero hockey, except what you and I and everybody else out there can see is that Macklin Celebrini is a game breaker. He can take over a game. He can completely turn the momentum in favor of your team. He has a wicked shot. He knows how to look off goalies. He knows how to look off defenders. He can do things that simply very few players in the NHL can do. I feel like the coaches aren't stopping him from doing that. I feel like Macklin Celebrini is stopping himself from doing that because he desires to be an unselfish player. But we've seen Will Smith take up shooting opportunities. He had one a couple of weeks ago on a back door where he decided to go swing it back the other side to Macklin, who scored. But everybody said, like, man, if Macklin doesn't score there, everybody's saying, Will, why aren't you shooting? Like, there is a selfless streak in this team that on the one hand I love, but on the other hand, it's like, if you're a star player, if you're a number 4 overall pick, if you're a number 1 overall pick, if you are eventually, who we're going to talk about with Misa, a number 2 overall pick, you have to prove that that was the correct move and to play like a star and change games like a star.
I think you have to figure out that line of what you're going to do. But I think with Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith, you have to find a shoot first mentality right now, because in the end of the day, at this point of the season, right now, where they're at, that is going to help your team most. You know, you can look for, you don't want to crush the creativity.
No.
Because that has to be there. And you even heard Gholson, the Stars head coach, trying to, you know, tell his team to be a little bit more creative and do whatever your gut says. So I think there is a place for that for sure. But right now, I'm like, there has to be a mandate for Macklin Celebrini to have at least 2 to 3 shots on goal every game. Like, it just has to happen. And I know it's hard to say that and going into how the game flows and all these things, but you have to give him the opportunity to take over the game. And, you know, he did. He started to there late in the third, down 2. And it's a good problem for you to have. He's a selfish player. He's a humble dude. He wants his team to do great. He will always talk about his team first. But I think that's also figuring out who you are in this league. And if you are one of those dudes, you take it to him.
Yeah.
You take it to him. And then when you go to it and you put a bunch of shots in net, or you just push the pace and you drive middle like he does every single game. And what he did again tonight, he drew some penalties. But then also then that opens up opportunities for your teammates. And so maybe that's also part of it is you, if you look at it as I'm being aggressive here because down the line it's going to open up this shot for Tyler Toffoli or Will Smith or William Eklund on the power play or whatever it may be. If I'm aggressive now early in this game, then maybe those passes that I look for are going to be more open. And I think that just goes back to what I talked about with in postgame about the power play is yeah. those early shots, that early aggression, like you're saying, keep shots on net. Then that might be opens up more of the fancy stuff that you're looking for back door because the defense gets out of form. It's not as together and they're not as connected. So everything will play off of those first initial shots. And I think if he is a little more aggressive early on, maybe that does open up things for his teammates. So if you maybe can see it in that situation, he's like, oh, maybe I actually am being a great teammate here.
Yeah, well, no, that's true. And, you know, we keep on talking about aggression, and I would argue that I know we say when a team's at home, they need to have the wind at their sails, and we talk about how difficult it used to be in those first 10 minutes at the Tank when the Sharks were in their heyday. But I would argue that this Sharks team, where they are right now in their overall timeline, they need to be even more aggressive on the road. It's more important when they're not at home, when they don't have the Tank rocking, that they do have the ability to take risks and see what happens and put more pucks on frame. Because, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but if you're not shooting, you don't get those second and third chance opportunities. Yeah. The other night, Alex Ovechkin's first goal was a second or third chance.
Yep.
And that made it a 1-0 game that completely changed the complexion of that game. You know, we saw earlier in that game, the Sharks missed a chance. Barclay Goodrow just hit it off the iron. It goes back the other way. And then suddenly Ovechkin's putting one in the back of the net. But that was a second or third chance opportunity. I think he even shot for the second chance, and it was the third, which was his rebound that put it in. But if the Sharks aren't shooting, they're not going to get those dirty goals. And how'd they get their one goal tonight? It was Colin Graf down low, able to make something happen off a loose puck. I mean, this. I'm not a genius tactically. I'm not saying anything like this, but it's like, if you don't put those pucks on frame, you never get the chance for the rebound. Like, make the goalie control his rebound to where you're not. And if he doesn't, there you are, and you have the ability to just hammer it right back home.
Yeah, I think you have a tendency to want to look for the perfect play or the perfect pass. And on the road especially, you just want to create your own momentum any way you can. And a lot of that is just shots on net and second chance opportunities. The Colin Graf's a great example. We've seen, you know, second opportunities. Michael Mises' first goal of his career was a second chance opportunity where he's crashing the net, where you brought his name up. They've had many of these. Obviously, you score a lot of goals throughout the season, but they somehow get away from it. And I think the question has to be, why do we get away from it? Why do we get away from the things that make us successful? And that's where I think the Sharks, when they can figure that out, why they get away from the things that make them successful, whether it's getting in on the forecheck and creating havoc, shooting, getting shots on net at a more rapid pace. Because even Will Smith has talked about how he's shooting more, so he's scoring more goals. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, that's a direct correlation to those two things. So once the team can figure out why it is that they get away from playing the game that makes them successful, that's what's going to really, I think, change the trajectory. I also think the top line is going to just keep getting more and more focus here. As the season goes on, the Macklin Celebrini line is going to get the top defensive line, the top pair. Every time, they're not going to have easy nights. And that's also another step for the way Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini will develop, is how will they take on the best of the best of the other team. And, you know, this has happened throughout this year, and they've had some great success already, obviously. But for a full season's a long time, and you're going to go through ebbs and flows. And so they're going to have to, you know, figure out when they're the top of the scouting report, night in and night out, how they can bring their game. And when they don't have their A game, how can they still be successful against the team's top defensive unit? And those are just things that, you know, remember, we got to remember, 19 and 20 years old, yeah. Second year in the NHL, they're going to figure this out. And when they figure it out, good luck to the rest of the NHL, because right now they have a lot figured out. But, you know, they got to go through this a couple times and figure these things out, and they're going to be all right. It's just, you're going through, you're playing Washington Capitals, you're playing the Colorado Avalanche, you're playing the Dallas Stars here of recently, and those are going to be your top echelon teams with Stanley Cup aspirations.
And I understand the Sharks getting taken out of their game when it's against the Avs and they jump on you, or the Caps and they jump on you. Those are going to be looked at, you know, that's one off. It's like, it's data, it's anecdotal data, but it's a different type of game. But they were in this one tonight. Yeah. I think that's the frustrating part of it. And when they can't keep the puck in the zone on the power play, when they are not shooting as many times as they should be, I think that's where, you know, you hear the frustration from our point of view. I'm sure it's different from their point of view. And I think they did make some corrections from the Washington game. They were more competitive in this game. They didn't make the same type of mistakes. They were better defensively, like you alluded to. I just think that this is that game where it's like you needed to have a more of a aggression from your top players. You needed more selfishness from Macklin Celebrini. You needed everyone just to be a little bit more aggressive, because you had a chance. And on these road games, game one of a 5-game road trip, if the Sharks have been walking away with even 1 point, you feel a little bit better. But, you know, things don't get easier as they now take on Carolina on Sunday. And when the Sharks played Carolina earlier this year, that was a different Sharks team. But I would argue that, yeah, it's a different Carolina team now, too. They're even better. So this is another stiff challenge for San Jose. And then what? It's Philadelphia to Toronto to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. So none of these games are going to be easy. And Toronto's had a little bit of a correction lately. I heard Drew and Dan joking about it, where they'll probably be in crisis mode by the time the Sharks get there in a couple days.
Yeah.
But this is tough. This is all another huge test for the Sharks, which this is how you find out. This is life in the NHL.
Yeah, no game for the San Jose Sharks, where they are right now, is a quote-unquote easy game or a game that they could take off. And they're going to have to bring it every single night. And we've seen them do it for a long stretch. And I think this stretch of, you know, 500 back and forth, this is the first 2-game losing streak in a little bit here. But I think this is also a good thing for the Sharks to find out how they get back, how they can find their consistency in their game against any opponent. The simple things, and they're going to have good opponents, and no one's really going to expect them to win many of these games on the road, except for, you know, the teams that the people who follow the team closely, who believe they're further along than many thought, even when they go into these other barns, and the team themselves. So you also still have to remember, I think, that they're playing with not a lot of expectations right now, and they got to push forward. They're still just like a couple points out of a wild card, so they're still in it. And that's the other thing about this NHL, is like right now, everyone is in it. Everyone's in it, but maybe 4 or 5 teams. There's a lot of parity. You don't know who's going to arise. And if you get on another heater like you did at the beginning of November, maybe you still stay in this thing. And to your point, if you do and you stay in this through the new year, that's now 2 months of good hockey, and Mike Greer is going to have some decisions to make as it gets closer to trade deadline. Do you go out and sell? Do you go buy? Do you maybe ride? You do both. Maybe you do a little bit of selling, a little bit of buying, a little jabbing and trading. Dealing, yeah. But I think this is a big month. You know, they're all important, but this month I think is important if you're looking at the outlook and where the season could go. This is the month that tells you. And that's kind of the same thing that we talked about last year. Last year, November, they were 6-6-3. You know, everyone was like, oh man, maybe the Sharks are going to be ahead of schedule. Then this year, November, 9 wins, ahead of schedule for sure. But that November does not look good unless you have another really solid month. And obviously you may not go 9 wins or, you know, be over 500 that, but another 500 month,
yeah,
or a game or two above, then you're feeling good about where this team is really headed, and it does actually feel like some progress, because anybody can have one good month. It's about how you can bring that month in and month out, week in, week out, game in and game out. And that, my friends, is the consistency that Ryan Warsawski talks about.
It's one of those C's.
Yeah.
All right, Alan.
And compete.
I will let you go. Sunday, 1:30, it is pregame as the Sharks take on the Carolina Hurricanes. Alan Hoshida will be joined by the great Nick Nolenberger. Tune in, and always enjoy the show. I'm not trying to chase you away from the Sharks Audio Network, but it is my duty as host to plug the guest. Alan, thank you so much, man. I will see you back here in a couple days, all right?
All righty.
Again, that is Alan Hoshida of NBC Sports California joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network, and we are just about out of time. Tonight, Saturday, you've got the Barracuda. They beat the Roadrunners last night. Michael Misa picked up a point, and they again have a game today at 6 o'clock, so tune into that right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Pre-game 5:30, and then on Sunday, the Sharks are in Carolina. Pre-game 1:30, go time 2, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.